right. Well, good morning. How's everybody doing today?
Good.
All right. Well, today we are going to start a new series called Supernatural. And over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about, well, supernatural issues and kind of how they play out in our, what we would call, natural world that we live in. Now, some of you might be wondering, okay, are things going to start to get weird? And my response to that is no, but I'm going to invite the ushers to come forward and bring the snakes that we have. Totally kidding. You will probably never see me holding a live snake. I don't have a fear of them per se, but I like them where they belong, which is normally far, far away from me. So there's that. But if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, because that's kind of where we're going to be starting at today. But as we talk about supernatural things, kind of in my opinion, there's two very common, call them mistakes that I say the church makes when it comes to this topic. The first one is that there is an overemphasis on the supernatural. And what I mean by that is there is so much of a focus on what I would call kind of the demonic things, where people see a demon behind every single bush. And if something goes bad, even slightly, it's, well, this must be Satan. I got into a car wreck, it must have been the demons. Could it be just you weren't paying attention? I failed this test because Satan wanted me to fail this test. Well, did you study? And you got to ask some of those questions. So there's this kind of overemphasis at times. But then there's the other side of it, and I would call it the other end of the pendulum, which I think is kind of the view that's a little bit more common today, is that there is an underemphasis, where it's not really talked about, or people kind of just have this view where it's, there's something out there, not quite sure what it is, don't really want to talk about it. Let's just leave it at that. I've got my stuff, my views, you've got yours, let's just leave it there. And there's no really topic of discussion on it at all. But today, like I said, we're going to be talking about it. And over the next few weeks, we're going to be really trying to get this biblical perspective of the supernatural. And today, specifically, we're going to be getting kind of a little bit more of a broad view, but we're specifically going to be talking about spiritual warfare. And so we're going to look at 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 4, because it kind of gives us a kind of an intro to it a little bit. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 4, it says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." So it gives us this idea that there is this war going on, this battle, this struggle that is happening, and one that, even though not in the physical, it can affect the physical. You know, and there's two sides to every fight, right? In the battle, there's always one side and the other side. Usually we always say it, there's the good side, there's the bad side, depending on which side of it you are on. But there's two sides. And when it comes to spiritual warfare, it's no different. There are two sides. And if you really want to think of it, two kingdoms. There is the kingdom of light, the kingdom of heaven and of God. And then there's the kingdom of darkness. What we would call the kingdom of Satan, if you will. Both sides are fighting. And even though it's not of this world, it still has effect on our world. It has an effect on us. And because it has an effect on us, because of that, we are part of this fight, whether we want to acknowledge it or not, because we are part of this world, and this world is part of God's creation, we are part of this battle. But if we look at this scripture, it tells us that we don't fight this battle the way we would normally fight a battle. Today in wars, you have bombs and missiles, tanks and guns, and we can't use that in this battle. We can't even use nunchucks and get up close and personal. It's not that kind of battle. Instead, we engage in this battle with prayer, with faith, and even more powerfully with God's word. But the question is, how do we engage this battle? How do we engage in a fight that is not physical, but can affect the physical. And with weapons that are not of this world, but still can have an effect on our world. And how do we tell who's on what side? How do we know which side is fighting for who? Well, in Ephesians 6 through 12, it gives us some really good insight into this. It says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." So this first verse, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. See, this gives us the insight to know that this is a battle that we cannot engage on our own. This is not a battle that we can engage and hope to win on our own. This isn't something we can do by ourselves. We can't be the hero in the fight. You can't go all Rambo and expect to come out on top. That's not how this one works. Instead, we have to rely on God. We have to rely specifically on the things that he gives us and his power through those things. He gives us the full armor to put on, the full armor of God. This is what he gives us to use against our enemy, to defend ourselves, but also to fight back so that we can stand against that enemy, which it tells us is the devil, to fight and stand against Satan. And so we see that that is our spiritual enemy. It's one who hates us. Even if we're not for God, and there are people in this world who would, I would say, do the bidding of Satan, Satan doesn't like them any more than he likes you and me. He hates all of us because all of us have the potential to do God's work. And because of that, he is going to do everything he can to stop us. He is scheming against us. He is plotting against us. He is planning traps to try and take us down. That is the battle that we are fighting. And if we do have a battle, if we do feel this struggle, it's not against people. You'll hear sometimes, "Oh, I've got this horrible boss. They're a boss from hell." Well, that may be the case. They may not be the nicest person in the world. But your battle is not against that person. It's not against an individual. It's not against a government. Your battle is not against Republicans or Democrats. It's not against activists or Hollywood people. It's not against your neighbor or your friend. It's not against the person who gets under your skin, who drives you crazy and does everything they can to make your life miserable. It's not even that person. Scripture tells us it's against the rulers, the authorities, and the dark spiritual powers that influence this world. The reality is that there may be people in your lives who are influenced by these dark powers, who are influenced by these dark spiritual authorities, but your battle is not against that person, it's against those that are influencing them. And when it comes to spiritual warfare, what you see is not all that there is. See, the truth is, there's this, if you want to think about it, another world, another side to our world, as some people will look at it. There's what we see in front of us, the reality, as we will call it. And then there's the spiritual side of it. And it's just as real as what we see in front of us. It's just as powerful as what we see in front of us, and at times even more so. It has power to influence our physical world, to influence people, to influence ourselves and actions, to cause physical harm. It has power to influence, and because of that, there is a war going on in which we will face battles. And because of that, there's a few things that we need to know. Especially if you, right now, if you're facing a battle, you're struggling with something. You've got something that's really difficult going on in your life that's trying to pull you away from God, that's trying to divert your attention. I especially want you to be paying attention. The first thing that we need to know as we engage in spiritual warfare is that you are not alone in your battles. This is one of the first things that Satan will try and tell you as he comes up against you, is that you're alone in this. There is nobody else walking through what you're going through. There is nobody else that will see it the way you see it. You are alone in this. You are by yourselves. It's just you and me, and that's it. But Scripture tells us that we are not alone. And this goes way beyond others who just know and understand what you're going through. Don't get me wrong. There is a lot of comfort that you can find and strength that you can find from others coming alongside you and knowing, saying, I know exactly where you're going through. I know exactly what you're going through. I've been there before. I've been in your shoes. There can be some strength and comfort that comes from that, but because it comes from our human selves, from human people, it won't last. It will get you a little bit, but it won't take you the full length that you need. It won't fully stand up against what Satan might be throwing against you. But there is one who will not only never leave you, who will always be beside you, who will give you comfort and give you strength, but in fact, he will send an army to stand by your side. Let's look at this account from 2 Kings 6, it's 15 through 17, and this is the kingdom of Israel. They are fighting against the kingdom of Aram, and they are surrounded by this giant army. And there's a servant that walks out and he sees this, and we see his account, and it says, when the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh my Lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, O Lord, open his eyes so he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the servant, and he looked, and he saw the hills full of chariots, full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. This kingdom was surrounded. They had no hope. They were scared. And Elisha said, don't worry about it, because we have more on our side than they do. You just can't see it. When we are facing or engaging in spiritual battle against something that is trying to pull us away from God, trying to even at times turn us against him, God doesn't say, good luck, you're on your own, figure this out. No, he loves us and he says, I will send an army to be by your side. I will send chariots of fire to stand next to you so that when you are going through this battle, you are not alone. We are not alone in our battles, and there is more going on that we can just see with our eyes. There is more going on. There is more influences happening in our lives than we may see right in front of us. The reality of the spiritual world teaches us another important principle, and that's one about prayer. Prayer at its base is our communication to God. We talk to God through prayer. We praise and worship God through prayer. It's one of the biggest tools and one of the biggest ways for us to encounter God on a deep personal level. But prayer is also a weapon. This is something that you won't hear often. Prayer is a weapon for us to use in the battles against Satan. And the second thing we have to know when we engage in spiritual battle is that prayers are far more powerful than you know. They're so much more powerful than you know. In the same way the spirit world, and especially spiritual battles, can affect us in the physical world, our prayers here in the physical world affect the spiritual world, especially when it comes to spiritual battles. See, you might have heard the term prayer warriors, somebody who is a prayer warrior, and there's a reason for that. Somebody who is consistent and continuous in prayer. You might say, oh, we're going to take it to so-and-so because they're a prayer warrior. They'll take it up to God for us. There's a reason that they're called a prayer warrior. Prayer is a weapon. It's something to be used to not only defend ourselves against attacks that Satan will bring against us, but it's for us to be on the offensive. To start before Satan even comes after us. Even when a prayer doesn't seem like a battle prayer, one to engage, to combat against evil forces, the spiritual evil forces, but a prayer that is, one might say, of oneself, for oneself, there is still power in them. See, let's look at Daniel 10, 12 through 14. It says, don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven. I have come in answer to your prayer, but for 21 days the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me, and I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. Now I'm here to explain what will happen to your people in the future, for this vision concerns a time yet to come. See, if you go and read chapter 10, Daniel chapter 10, he didn't have this elaborate prayer seeking power to overcome something or to say a prayer to hinder a spiritual force coming against him, to stop the action of an evil spirit. Instead, he was consistent in prayer. He was consistently daily praying for understanding and for humility. In fact, if you go and you, like I said, read the rest of it, he was so persistent in prayer that he fasted for 3 weeks, daily bringing this prayer up to God, asking for humility, asking for understanding in the circumstances that he was going through, in the captivity that he was in. He prayed for 3 weeks. Yet that power of that prayer affected the spiritual world. It aided in the battle that was happening, a battle that was not seen, a battle that was not heard, but still had effect. Our prayers are more powerful than we know, and when we go through something that's trying to pull us away from God, trying to hinder our walk with Christ, we need to be aware that our prayers hold significant power in the spiritual world, and prayer is one of the most powerful weapons against the enemy. It's defense against attack. It is aid to spiritual beings sent by God to help us. It is a powerful weapon for us to use in spiritual warfare. And when we recognize that, we are able to use that to its full ability. To not just send up a prayer of, God, I hope you can heal this person. I hope that you can work in their life of what's going on, but an intentful prayer, persistent, saying, God, they are going through a battle. And though we may not be able to see it, it's affecting them. So God, send the aid that is needed. Give power to them so that they can overcome. It becomes a more intentful, more pointed prayer. Not only is spiritual warfare real, but we also have to know and realize that Satan does have power. He does have power. And here in a couple weeks, we're going to talk more about Satan and demons and the power they have and what they can do. But we have to be aware, he is not an adversary that we can take lightly. He is not a pushover for us to just look at a cartoon character with horns and a pitchfork. He has real power that can affect us in reality. He has the power to influence, the power to cause harm, the power to take things away. We have to be aware of that. He can inflict real damage into our lives. But there's one final thing that we really have to understand, really have to know and remember when it comes to spiritual warfare. And that's when we engage in spiritual battle, we do not fight for victory, we fight from victory. As followers of Christ, we do not have to fight for victory over Satan because it has already taken place. If we place our faith in Christ as our Savior, Christ has already defeated Satan. He hung on a cross, he died, he rose again, defeating death, defeating Satan. And when we put our faith in him, we fight from a place of already having victory. There's this lady that I grew up knowing. Her name is Ginger Ingram Brown. She runs a ministry called the Little Gospel Productions. And what she does is she is a ventriloquist, which is not as creepy as it sounds. but she does puppet shows, specifically geared towards kids. And growing up, she would come to my church and do kind of a VBS. And she has had so much influence in my life, especially kind of K through fourth grade years. And even now, she runs a camp for kids with disabilities. She has a farm where they're able to come out. They're able to engage in different things. I say a lot to say she is an amazing woman. And she taught me something that was super powerful, even to this day. One of the things that she would do, we would do songs and all that stuff at the VBS, but each year, this was one thing that always stayed the same, was that she had a song and more of a chant that she would teach all of us. And she called it the Christian Battle Cry, and it simply went like this, V-I-C-T-O-R-Y, that's the Christian Battle Cry, victory, victory, victory. And we would sing that every single day, and she would read this passage, and it's 1 John 4:4, which says, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." We have a victorious battle cry. And even though we stand on a place of victory, and we fight from a place of victory, Satan is still going to try and attack. He's still going to try and knock us down from that place. He's still going to try and cause us to stumble, to fall, to push us away. He's going to do all that he can to keep people from believing in God, even if they already do. But we have the knowledge, we have the hope, we have the joy of going, "I know you're going to try. But the one who is in me is so much greater than you. And so I'm standing on a place of victory, not because of what I have done, but because of what my Savior has done to defeat you." There is a war happening. And even though we're not able to see it, to see all that's going on, to see all the pain that it may be causing people, it can and it does affect us. We engage in spiritual battles every single day. Some of them are harder and tougher than others. Some of them last longer than others. But God tells us that we are not alone when Satan tries to engage us. There are heavenly beings and armies that are willing to fight beside of us. And our Heavenly Father gives us tools and weapons like prayer to engage that enemy, to fight the enemy and to defeat him, to give aid to others as they battle theirs. Most importantly, though, because of Christ, we're able to fight from a place of victory. We're able to stand firm knowing that Jesus has done the hard work. And through him, we can have the power to fight and beat back our enemy. We can have confidence when we engage the enemy. And my hope is that over the next few weeks, as we dive more into the supernatural and as we learn more about the supernatural side of things, that you're able to gain an understanding of who our enemy is and how much power because of Christ that we have to defeat and overcome that enemy. You pray with me. Heavenly Father, you have given us victory. You have sent your Son as a leader, as an influencer into our lives, but more importantly, as our Savior and as a sacrifice for our sins. And in doing so, you gave us victory over Satan. Because of our faith in him, we can have victory not only over our sin, the things that push us away from you, but over the one who is trying to push us away. And God, I just pray that if there is somebody here who is going through a battle, one that is tough, one that they are not sure that they're able to keep fighting, or how they're going to make it through it, God, that you would send them the aid that they need. That you would send them an army with horses and chariots of fire to fight beside them. To drive back the force that is trying to put them down, God. That is trying to tear them away from you. And that, God, that in our everyday life, we would be able to recognize those battles. We would be able to see and have a glimpse of the spiritual world, of that spiritual side, so that we can be prepared. So that we can have a heart that is ready to engage. That we have a heart that is ready to stand firm. God, we love you. We thank you so much for the blessings that you give us. In your name we pray. Amen. If you're